So I want to talk to you today about the kingdom of God. If you'll give me my screens up here, guys. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, give me some volume on that. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind has conceived or imagined the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I'm going to talk about the kingdom, but there's actually two kingdoms. There's one world and two kingdoms. The kingdom of this world is a kingdom of darkness, hatred, greed, fear, abuse, war, lies. The governments of this world operate in that. But there's a kingdom of light. By the way, they're failing. But the kingdom of God is advancing. The peace, the blessing, the purpose of God, hope, love, faith, future. God's kingdom has taken dominion, and he's prevailing. See, there was a great battle already. Jesus on the cross and in the grave. But he came off of that cross. He came out of that grave. He won the battle. He stripped darkness and sin of its power. Amen, somebody? The leaders of darkness have been defeated, crushed. And so now, today, we have victory. Victory once and for all. Hallelujah. And now we have a call of God. One king. He reigns. We have all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus gave it to us. It says the increase of his government and peace, there be no end. And we walk in this call, one mission, the mission that we have in the kingdom of God. Here it is, to build his kingdom. Say it with me, to build his kingdom. I want to help you understand what that looks like today in all the world, to make disciples. It's the government of God, hallelujah, the light and the life of God. And that's where we can operate with expectation for healing and deliverance and for life and life more abundantly. And I'm declaring that today because, you know, we've already had our candidate Sunday, and this Tuesday is our primary election. I want to encourage you to let your voice be heard and to vote, but make no mistake about it, our faith is not in the kingdom of this world or in the White House, it's in the church house. It's in what God is doing, and I believe he's doing it through his church and through his people. And this is why God wants me to help you understand today how we are in a family. The kingdom of God, the government of God with the King of Kings, and he wants us to be kings and priests in this life, and most importantly, to have relationship with him as a heavenly father. I've been finding that I'm coming in a closer fellowship with God than I ever have, and I want to share some of those thoughts with you next week. But first, as we look at the symbol of the crown, we know the symbol of the cross is about salvation, but the crown is about taking dominion. It's about kingship, about sonship. And it's about heaven's influence on earth, the community of God on earth. God's culture, language, lifestyle, values, and morals on earth. And I want to say this, wherever heaven's influence takes dominion over the earth, the kingdom of God is there. Now that's happened inside of you. But also, God's Spirit wants to flow out of you. So God comes in you, he comes upon you, he flows out of you. And church, that's where God's going to make a difference in the world today. And I want us to embrace this and learn how to come closer to God as our Heavenly Father and come into an understanding of our identity as his children. Our identity in sonship, not as servants, but as sons. So I want to get that distinction because institutional religion won't take you there, but only relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus. So religion prepares man to leave the earth. And if you get focused there, then you're going to stop and say, well, I'm prepared to go to heaven. But that's not enough. Kingdom empowers man to take dominion. To take dominion over the darkness, sin, sickness, whatever it is on earth. Religion focuses on heaven, but kingdom focuses on earth. The last words of Jesus, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Take territory, take authority over sin, over darkness, over sickness. That's the assignment that God has on our lives. Religion wants us to escape earth, but kingdom impacts, influences, and changes earth. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, you shall cast out devils. This wasn't for preachers and evangelists. It's for every one of us. And this is what I'm hearing God say over and over again. Teach and train, disciple my people to rise up, to walk in their power, to walk in their authority that I've given them. I'm living inside of you. If Jesus is in your boat, wake him up. Religion is reaching up to God. Kingdom is God coming down to man. So every time we gather like this, you know, we're looking to see God manifest, not in somebody else, but in me. You know, I want to be drawn closer to God. So I'm drawing closer to him. So he draws closer to me. Religion seeks to take earth to heaven. But kingdom seeks to bring heaven to earth. And we see that in the Lord's Prayer, the only prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, we often say on earth as it is in heaven, but we're made from the dust of the earth, so in earth as well. God is in you. And he flows out of you. He wants to touch others through his spirit. So you don't want to just hide it inside. You don't want to just ignore it. You don't want to just come to Jesus. But what we want to learn is to learn how to steward the presence of God. The presence of God is the power of God. And I'm going to talk more about that next week because I just feel like, you know, we have to continually draw close to God. It's almost like, you know, he fills us up, but we leak. So most of the songs that we're singing and the next generation is bringing to us, you know, are about this, about seeking the presence of God. You know, the Bible says that we should seek his face. That word presence is actually face. Every time I close a service, I'm usually closing it with the Aaronic benediction. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. You know, God wants us to get familiar with his face. Get that close. I know we're loving the grandparent years. And we just love to get into the face of our little baby, little girl, Lily. You know, and when we do, you know, she lights up, she smiles. There's fellowship happening there. You know, when we get saved, we have relationship. You are in the body of Christ, but we've got to learn how to have fellowship, to pursue, to seek the face of God, is to seek the presence of God. And when you're seeking the presence of God, the manifestation is the power of God. And we're learning more about that in these last days because that's how we're going to see the kingdom of God overpower the kingdom of this world and God's plan come to pass. In Luke 17, 20, it lets us know that the kingdom of God is not here or there or by observation, but it's within us and it's manifested through us. And I love the fact that, and I always put this picture here because I want you to see that it's so much bigger than God just inside of you for you. But it's his presence around about you so that everywhere you go, you are changing the atmosphere. You're created an atmosphere in which the presence of God is comfortable, and the presence of God manifests in power. And I find this to be true. I'll maybe give you some examples as we go. I want to get some scripture in you here. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Somebody say, wow. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, help me out. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, which means God with us, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hopes. Gotta sing that song. My mama's singing that in heaven. It was her favorite song of the more current hymns, you know, of the church, right? Look at this one, John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become what? The sons of God. Wow. Even to them that believe on his name. Listen, church, we have the DNA of God, the creator God, creator of the universe. By the way, all my PowerPoints, all my verses and outlines are on our website if you ever want to put them up. I see you taking pictures, and that's okay. I love that. Here's what we've got to understand, and I put it in big letters. We are the children of the King. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The verse before this says, seek the kingdom and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. I want us to learn how to seek the kingdom, how to seek his face, how to seek the presence of God, how to pursue him. And I think we've got to talk some more about that. But God said, first, let's understand family. I want you to turn to Luke 15 and verse 11. Luke 15 and verse 11, if you would, with me. There's, in this chapter, there's actually three stories, but this particular story, the third story, the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the prodigal son, helps us to learn more about our Father, our Heavenly Father, how he thinks, how he acts. Here we go. It says, there was a man who had two sons. So this is actually a story about two sons. The younger one said to his father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between his two sons. So this son was probably selfish, but I want to say he was concerned about his things, not his father's things. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. So that distant country, you know, that far country, it could represent that he left home far from God. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Now, this story was being told by Jesus to Jewish people, and they certainly would have thought that that would be the lowest job that this younger, self-sufficient young man was selfish that he could have probably acquired. The Bible says he was hungry and he even longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But look at verse 17. When he came to his senses, He said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. He said, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men, your servants. So he got up and went to his father. You know, I want to say when he came to his senses, that's a picture of how all of us, when we come to Christ, you know, we had to come to our spiritual senses to realize that we were lost, that we needed a Savior. And that's the place to start. But what this story is going to tell us is that, you know, God's not looking so much for servants. He wants sons. He wants to build a family. Because this son, who was a son of his father, he said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He wanted to tell his father that. But while he was still a long way off, the Bible says, his father saw him coming and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, I don't know if my phone is talking to me or not, or if it's God. I just wanted to check. I have no idea how that happened except God giving me an illustration. So this young man's heart was broken, and that was good. He came back that way. But his father broke into his statement. He said to his father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, before he could go on and say, I just want to be a servant, his father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandal on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. What is this telling us? Church, I believe it's possible for you to come to Christ and somehow have lost your first love or have lost the fellowship that you have with God. You still have relationship. But how can we reestablish this fellowship with God? The Bible says we have to learn to seek His presence, to seek His face, to seek His face and not His hands. Sometimes we can get so caught up on what God can do for us, and our petition is, I need, give me this, give me that. Oh God, help me. Instead of just wanting to have fellowship with our Lord. You know, I was thinking as I was meditating on this, our own Laura Williams, where are you, Laura? She might be working with children, but she works with our youth. She came to Christ and she shared her testimony one night with us about how God corrected her one time. She said that God told her that she needed an understanding of her relationship with him as a daughter. And she said, I was a prodigal. And then God said, I want no longer one-way commitment. We're in a relationship. And to help her understand that, he instructed her to go get a ring. So, you know, this story here has a ring in it. I'm going to put it up here. Because the robe could spiritually represent our mantle that God gives us, our anointing in his house. The ring, you know, was actually a signet ring in those days, and it had the family crest on it, you know, and it represented authority. We're in a marriage covenant with God. We need to keep that ring on. And the shoes indicated that he wasn't a servant. The servants didn't wear shoes, but he was in sonship with the Father. He had an assignment for that family. Well, this story about Laura is that she was so impressed on God to go get a ring to help her be reminded that she was in that kind of a covenant with God. She went to a jewelry store and started shopping for rings. And she found one that she really liked, that she thought, you know, God was inspiring her on, but it was $250, and she didn't have $250, but she was looking at it, and there all of a sudden, in a experience you'll probably never have with a jeweler, the jeweler felt inspired to just give it to her. I think she told him what she was there looking for, that God had told her that she needed to wear a ring. And so he just gave it to her. She was so blessed. You know, this is what I feel, church, that we're going to experience more of as we get beyond seeking what God can do for us. And instead, we're just seeking his face for the fellowship that we want to have for him. Then the manifestation of that spirit within us will manifest in power for provision, for prosperity, for healing. You know, Jesus never prayed for people. He just said, be healed. He walked in that kind of authority. He never gave us formulas for doing things because he just said, get so filled up with me, get so empowered with my spirit, and let me do the work. And I believe that's where the church and the kingdom of God is at today. And this story underscores it. Look how this chapter goes on, because there was an older brother. We see the younger brother is what we're mostly looking at in this story. But the elder brother, he got angry. He's the one who stayed home. He didn't stray. He stayed. But he was still lost. He became angry, refused to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. He was out in the fields working, but he wouldn't come in and fellowship with his father and his brother. He said to his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders. I kind of doubt that, but. And you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. You know, this is the problem. He was slaving for his father, but he didn't have fellowship with his father. Church, I believe that we're moving into a season now where we're all going to have more desire to worship God in spirit and in truth. You know, and not coming to church, you know, just, you know, to do our time and to somehow serve the Father by coming to church, but coming to church to awaken the Spirit of God within us and to get closer to our Heavenly Father in fellowship. Hallelujah. This is what this older son was missing. He said, when you're that son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. He was upset at God's grace and mercy for somebody else. And you know, that's often a clue. When you start getting critical of other people, you don't have the heart of God. And God's not wanting any to perish, but all to come to salvation. My son, the father said, you are always with me. You art ever with me, it says in the King James. And everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. So praise God. We can get saved and yet still have a mental problem. We don't understand the heart of the Father. Everything I have is yours. He wants us to have ownership and access, but we have to give it to him and see it as his. This older son had a sin consciousness, not a son consciousness. Sometimes if you're just constantly focused on, you know, right or wrong, you can end up being critical of everybody and everything around you. But think about the grace of God for your own life. And think about Father wanting to have a big family. And it'll bring that out in your own life. You know, I've told you this before, but I got to tell you again. I cured this wrong thinking in my family years ago when we were raising our children, because it bothered me so much to see my children fighting over the toys. Toys that I had bought for them, toys that we had given them, and yet they're saying, no, that's mine. No, that's mine. So I think God gave me the revelation on this. I sat them all down one day. I said, I want to give you all some information that you need to understand. None of these toys are yours. They're all daddy's. Everything in this house and this house is daddy's. And so you have no reason to fight over them because I am willing to share with all of you. They're daddy's. You don't have ownership, but you have access because you are sons and daughters of daddy. Amen. Everything daddy has, you can use, but it's mine. Don't fight over it. So Jeanette and I, you know, after I helped them understand that a couple of times, we would discover that they did get it, because whenever anyone would say, that's mine, the other one would say, no, it isn't. It's daddy's. Daddy, yeah, he's fighting over your stuff. But think about that for a moment in the context of our relationship with God. If you're having a problem right now in the area of finances or the area of, like we are right now, and trying to get these ACs all working properly, you know, I'm not going to take ownership of it. Lord, it's yours. I want God to take responsibility for it. He does so much better at handling his stuff. I just have access to it. You know what? I'd rather have access than ownership. You know what's better than having a boat of your own? Having a close friend with a boat. Isn't that right, Bill? Because anybody that's got boats, you don't take them out much because it's so much work to get them ready to go out and to clean them up when you come back. But everybody else is just riding that boat. Oh, it's just great. You got a friend with a boat. You just step on it and enjoy it. And then you better help clean it up when you get back, right? We need to grow in our sonship, our son consciousness, sons and daughters of the living God. And I believe that's where we're at. John 15:13, Jesus said to his disciples after 3.5 years of ministry, he said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Hebrews 2:11 says, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. Both Jesus, the one, capital O, who makes people holy, and those who are made holy, that's us, are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Wow, think about that. So praise the Lord. I want to call that today kingdom mentality. And that's why we need to draw close to God, and he will draw close to us. I want to show you now, if I can, in just the remaining few minutes that I have here today, you know, what this looks like. Because God gave me 3 words some years ago that I have seen at work on how God works in our midst. He gave me these words: atmosphere, order, and excellence. He says, if you create the right atmosphere, God will show up. When God shows up, he brings order. And where there's order, you have opportunity for excellence. Atmosphere for God's presence. You know, we do that when we come together in here. Every time we worship God first. We sing about God, then we sing first person to God. And we're creating an atmosphere in which God is not offended, where God feels comfortable to turn his face towards us and start manifesting in people's hearts. You know, I remember the time in a worship service where somebody manifested right about where you're sitting, Brother John, and God opened up his blind eye. right in a worship service. Boom, a completely blind eye opened up. You know, the right atmosphere was there. And he brought order to that eye. And then the excellence came when this brother, he's been in church ever since, and bringing his friends, his former Catholic, you might know who I'm talking about. Order is that correction, that restoration, that repair, that healing, that deliverance that's needed in your spirit. And then the excellence is the fruitfulness or the miracles that God brings. You know, Jeanette, God has used my wife, Jeanette, because she's such a positive person. You know, I rarely hear a negative word come out of her mouth, maybe never. But she does correct me when I'm just telling the truth. You know, something negative happened, I'm telling the truth, but it's not of faith. So she'll correct me on it, you know, and say something faithful and true. And I appreciate that. If I get up in the morning and I'm grumpy, you know what grumpy means? You know, she'll say, honey, just praise the Lord. And I want to just ignore that, but she won't let me. Just praise the Lord. Got to get the right thing coming out of your mouth. And that's good. Here's an example that you'll remember in Acts 16, 25. Paul and Silas are in prison. Remember, they were unjustly thrown, they were beaten and thrown in prison. In stocks and bonds, the deepest part of the prison, at midnight, middle of the night. You know, this was a really bad time. But what were they doing? They started singing, praising, and praying to God to where everyone in the prison heard them. So they changed the atmosphere right there in that prison. And when order, the correction came, the chains couldn't stay on them. The chains fell off. The doors opened up. And as if that wasn't enough, the jailer came in. Him and his whole family got saved. That's the miracle. That's the excellence. God, he begins something that just brings it into order. And then there's excellence that comes. So prayer and singing, deliverance, and then souls. Oh, I like that. Let's look at another example. Peter, when he raised Tabitha from the dead. Remember, Tabitha was a real strong follower and disciple, and she died. So they called Peter to come. And the first thing Peter discovered when he came into that room where she was laying on the bed, there were mourners, everybody crying and mourning and looking over her clothing that she had made and weeping. He sent everybody out of the room. And then he got on his knees, begin praying, and change the atmosphere. Hallelujah. And God brought order. Hallelujah. God raised her up. There was a resurrection, excellence, fruitfulness, the miracle that shook the whole region. Oh, I love that. Let's look at one more. Jonah in the belly of the fish. Jent and I have been talking about that on Wednesday nights. But we see in Jonah 2 and verse 1, then Jonah prayed. You know, he had to end up in the belly of a fish before he turned his face towards the face of God and begin to pray. And then the same God who spoke to the fish to go get Jonah told the fish to spit Jonah out on dry land. Hallelujah. And then there were souls. 120,000 people came to Christ after Jonah turned his life around. Come on, somebody. That's excellence. That's excellence. And I love these examples because I really believe, church, that we're stepping into a season now where it's not so much about the things that we can see with our natural eyes. It's not so much about our institutional religious practice. You know, we've got to get beyond that and learn how to seek His face. Learn how to sense the presence of God in the room. The Bible says, if you'll draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. How do we do that? I want to talk more about that. And a lot of the teachings of the Apostle Paul were about this, how to walk in the Spirit, how to live in the Spirit. Because, church, that's the only thing that's going to change the world around us is the kingdom of God. You know, until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our God and of his Christ, the Bible says. Hallelujah. I'm out of time here today. I'm going to close on this verse. I want us to say it together. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in this earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. And Father, I'm praying, Lord, that you will awaken your spirit in each one of us. And Lord, in the weeks to come, that we might understand how to draw closer to our Heavenly Father, who is Spirit. And Lord, by your Spirit in us, by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.